Hey, well, we want to welcome everybody to church this weekend. Thanks for being in worship with us. If you're watching online, we're so glad that you've joined us as well in this weekend after Christmas. We hope you had a great Christmas with family, with friends, with loved ones, and hopefully it was a blessing to you. And we had great Christmas Eve services across all of our campuses. So many new people, I think well over 100 people gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ at our Christmas Eve services. How many know that's a good thing? That was awesome. Yeah, so good. And just heard great reports, met so many new people, and love what God's doing in our church. Next weekend, Pastor Rob will be sharing our annual vision message. You don't want to miss that. It'll be a great launch into 2014. And this weekend, you know, we do a lot of teaching series at River Valley. Once in a while, we have a standalone weekend where it's an individual message, a one-week message, and this is one of those weekends. And so this weekend, the title of our message is Ruined. Ruined. Doesn't that sound encouraging? Come on, church. It is. But ruined is a good thing. It's a God thing. It really is described as when God kind of comes in and rocks our world. God kind of comes in our world, shakes us up a little bit, does something significant. So it's really a good thing. And I want you to know that this weekend's message is an experiential message, all right? You're going to experience it. You got to picture it. You got to feel it. I'm going to show you some pictures. I'm going to ask you to remember some things. We're going to tell a number of different stories, look at some great scriptures. But it's one of those more, it's one of those messages that are going to be a little more experiential. And how many think it's okay to have a little bit of fun in church? Is that right? That's good. Well, we're going to have fun even if you don't want to, so it's going to be good. And but so let's just kind of launch into this. And the Bible says that confession is good for the soul, doesn't it? And so I'm leading you somewhere here. But anyways, I want to ask you this question because I think there'll be great unity in our church as we respond to this question. How many would just admit here today that over the last week or so, you have eaten way too much food? Can I just see your hands? Come on, some of you put both your hands up. Just come on, surrender to God right now. Seriously. But I mean, that's just, it's just part of it, and eating, we love it. It's part of the holidays, all that kind of stuff. And we're all in this thing together. And one of the things I've realized about great food, because I'm kind of a foodie, I don't know if you are as well, but I kind of like food too much sometimes. But one of the things I realized about great food is most people, and I would say almost everybody, there's three or four or five foods that are their favorites. You know what I'm saying? That's just their favorites. There's a lot of us that have a few restaurants that are favorites, aren't they? We will pass 8, 9, 10 different restaurants, won't we, to get to the one we really want to go to. And most of us have kind of a favorite main course. And a lot of us, probably all of us, have a few favorite desserts, don't we? That we just love that. So I'm going to show you a couple pictures of my favorites. Again, experiential message. And we got to kind of live this and experience this together. But a number of years ago, I experienced a dessert, which I'm just going to call a miracle dessert. No, I'm serious. It will set you free. It is so good. And I want to show you the picture of it. It's called Tres Leches. It's up on the screen. And just look at that, but just for a moment, because it'll take you right in if you're not careful. We can bring that down. But it's called Tres Leches. And in the Latin, it means three creams. And in the biblical Hebrew, it means heaven on a plate. I'm just telling you. It is so good. It is amazing. First time I had it, I grabbed the waiter and I'm like, what's in it? What's the secret sauce kind of thing? I'm going to show you another picture, which is my main course, top three, but I think it's the top, my top main course. I love it so much. It's so incredible. And we'll let it speak for itself. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. How many know what that is right there? Yeah. Oh yeah. You can take that down because I am hungry, but that's Alaskan king crab legs. I remember the first time I had that, I was 16 years old, and I was wondering, why did my parents keep this from me? Seriously. But then I realized I'm youngest of six. I saw the price tag. I know why they kept it from me. I mean, but really, it's one of those things where it's just like, wow, that is so good. The focus of this weekend's message is to highlight one of the secrets that makes Christianity really amazing, special, and so unique. Because Christianity really is amazing, special, and so unique. And Psalms 34 is just an interesting scripture. You may have heard it before, maybe your first time hearing it this weekend. It'll be up on the screen. Psalms 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What does that even mean? Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Message paraphrase says it this way. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Taste it, see it, experience it, feel it. There's a side of God where God says, you have got to get close enough, and there has got to be some experiential moments where it's not just head knowledge and stuff like that, but where you taste it, you see it, you feel it, you experience it. It's just so incredible. So I want to ask you this question. And again, remember I said it's experiential this weekend. I just want you to process this. Think about this. Let this stir in your mind as we walk through this weekend's teaching. Here's the question. How many life-changing moments should a Christian experience? How many life-changing moments should a Christian experience? Should it be one? Two? Three? Should we have five moments that just touch our lives and we'll never forget them? Should there be seven? Eight? Ten? Does God put a limit on it? Where he says, you've had enough God moments and you're done? Does he do that? So how many life-changing moments, this is what's been stirring around in me for a few weeks, should a Christian experience? The catalyst for this message in my heart comes from this kind of key thought that I want to share with you. It's simply this. I don't think Christianity is really attractive and compelling when it's lived out as just a religion. I don't think it is. When it's just lived out as a religion, I don't think it's really attractive. I don't think it's really compelling. I think it's one of many religions in the world that have a good moral code to it and good instruction and stuff like that. I mean, when our message is, come and see how smart we are, come and see how we've got it all figured out, come and see how good we are at debating our grasp of history, and come let us share our intellect with you, I don't think that's super compelling. I don't think that's super attractive. Now, before I lose some of you here, let me just lay a foundation for this, for my heart, my life, Pastor Rob, our elders, our church, what we believe. I mean, I love truth. I love wisdom. I value history. We are strong in the infallibility, the strength of God's word as our guide, as our source. So we're all about that foundation. But how many of you know there's more to it than just that? Then there's more than just the informational side. It's so important. So let me describe it this way. Look at Kingdom Builders. Many of you know what Kingdom Builders is. We talk about it a lot at River Valley Church. Kingdom Builders is our above and beyond giving, above our normal tithe and offering. We do above and beyond giving to Kingdom Builders to help resource projects reach and build the kingdom of God all around the world, literally. This year in Kingdom Builders, when you know it and understand it, it's pretty special. I mean, just this year, above and beyond our giving, we're going to give somewhere close to $2.7 million as a church away to projects all over the world. I mean, that's pretty incredible. That's above our normal giving, 2.7. And so it's just amazing all the things we get to do. So it's just powerful. But for Kingdom Builders, when you travel to Swaziland, like I did a number of months ago, and you stand on the land that Kingdom Builders purchased, and stand in the church and the facility that Kingdom Builders built, and you watch and experience as hundreds and hundreds of orphans and hundreds of adults come in and receive God's amazing love, you experience Kingdom Builders. And you're ruined. You're ruined in that moment. You're like, I get it, it's powerful, 2.7, it's big, it's exciting, but wow, look what's happening here. And it touches your life. Global Project. What a special part of River Valley Church. It's the missions arm of our church at all of our campuses. And in Global Project, it's a pretty special thing when you know it and understand it, and we all can. I mean, we get to partner through Global Project with 170 missionaries every month with financial support. 170. And that's above what we do with Kingdom Builders. I mean, so our church is known as a generous church all around the country, and it's so exciting, it's so amazing. But when you get on an airplane and you fly thousands of miles away to another nation and you hook up with a missionary and God uses you along with a team to share his love in a foreign land with a language barrier and a culture barrier, but something happens in your heart and you see God do miracles in another nation, how many of you know Global Project feels different? You experience it. and you get ruined. And God rocks your world. So there are just those moments in our lives. And I want you to know we all need God moments and experiences in our lives. We all need them. We all need those moments where God ruins us. So 1 Samuel chapter 3. I love this event. I don't call things stories when they're true, actual events in Scripture. So sometimes we say stories and we dismiss it, but this is a true, actual event in the Old Testament, highlighting a young man's journey that had not yet experienced God in a dramatic way in his life, but he wanted to, and his name was Samuel, okay? And he had this mentor, this leader in his life whose name was Eli. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see the setting and what's going to take place here of his journey. So it says, the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel, notice this, church, really focus on this. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Notice where Samuel was sleeping, where he was lying down. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up again. He thought it was Eli. And he went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But my son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. And in parentheses, let me go to sleep. Anyways, that's what Eli thought. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Third time. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now notice this, church. This is a little different. This time the Lord came and stood there. Not just called out, he came and stood there, calling as at other times, two times, Samuel, Samuel, he called his name. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Do you think Samuel remembered this moment for the rest of his life? Do you think so? Yes, right? I mean, I promise you, he never forgot this moment. And those first three times Samuel had the information he was hearing, he thought it was Eli, it didn't make sense, but he's hearing this voice. And then the fourth time, there was this experience that God gave him, where God came and stood there in his presence. And Samuel, at that moment, it went from information to him to revelation to him. And revelation involves experience. And it changed his life. It's just so, so amazing. And he never forgot it. So I'm going to share a couple stories with you about some moments in my life. First one I want to share with you is about the first mission trip I took outside the United States. Okay, I did a number of mission trips in Mexico and border countries and stuff like that. But this is the first one we got on a plane, went a long ways away. And I was going on a mission trip to Costa Rica. And got on this plane, and it was a Latin American aircraft. And I did. If I said the name of the company, you wouldn't know it. And we got on the plane. It was old, and it wasn't that large. It looked like it seated 80 or 90 people. I was a little scared at that point. I haven't traveled much and stuff like that. And I got on the plane, and the plane was about 133 years old. Seriously, that's the way it looked. It felt. I went down. I sat, and I was about the fourth row from the back. I sat down, and my seat collapsed flat on the behind me. Just boom, just went like that. Now my fear is rising. And so true story, every part of this is true. I lift up the seat, it falls back again. And the only way I can keep it upright is if I'm holding it the whole way. All right, so that's my experience. We take off, we're 20 minutes into the flight on the way to San Jose, Costa Rica. We hit turbulence like I had never hit in my life. I mean, I had never hit it. Now, I like Dramamine, I'm just gonna tell you. But it laughed at Dramamine, that turbulence we hit. And so have you ever been in a plane where it was just bumpy, 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 turbulent, bad? And have you ever had that moment where the plane drops? Like not to the ground, but it feels like it's going to, right? And it's going bump, 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 and all of a sudden it drops and your stomach's up here and your body's down here. I mean, it's crazy. And I'm going to be really vulnerable right now. I threw up. Seriously. Come on, that's a ruined moment, isn't it, right? And I learned that it's best if you throw up in the bag and not in the person in front of you. So I did that. I did that. It's good. So, but I don't know why I'm telling you this part, but I had that moment. And we landed in San Jose, Costa Rica. I smelled like a missionary and or a missions person. But anyways, we landed there. And the reason we were going is because our church back home, our youth group had raised the money to buy a vehicle, a Jeep, for this young missionary couple. So we had raised the money, and he was able to get this Jeep. And so we got to go there and see and experience something. So we spent the first few days there traveling around these villages and supplies and doing children's ministry, and we did a couple church services. And for those just 48 hours, we were there longer than that, but we went to all these villages, and I saw hundreds of people running out for hope and to receive Christ, and we prayed with tons, and there's miracles of healing, and this Jeep was used to haul food and clothing and all these different things, resourcing these people in these villages of Costa Rica. And I was ruined. It changed my perspective on missions giving forever. I knew about it before then, but I experienced it there. Fast forward 5 years. This is still a number. This is 15 years ago, 5 years. And I went to my first missions trip to China. I've been there a number of times since then, but it was my first trip to China. And pretty big trip. And 15 years ago, you got to kind of get yourself back in that mode. 15 years ago, there was not Bible apps. There was no YouVersion. Okay, there was not online Bibles and stuff like that, and communist China was very strict, and you couldn't print Bibles, and you couldn't proselytize, and you couldn't have Bibles and share them and stuff like that. It was known as the persecuted church and the underground church. Our missions team, our goal was to smuggle Bibles into China to give to the Christians there that didn't have any. We took these Bibles in, and they were little small paperbacks, probably worth $1.50 or $2. We took hundreds of them in. And let me pause right here and just ask you, how many Bibles do you possess? You don't have to answer me, but just think about it. Experience it. Think about it. How many Bibles do you own, do you possess, do you have at your house? Before coming out to speak, I looked in my office. I have 11 Bibles just in my office. I use them all once in a while. That's just what I have. So we went to the first church service. I brought all these Bibles with us. It was packed with hungry, passionate Christians worshiping God in Chinese. Didn't understand, but I saw it and I experienced it. Then we started handing out Bibles. I was handing out Bibles to this long row of Chinese Christians. And only about one every 10 or 15 people would take a Bible from me. I tried giving them, they wouldn't take them. I gave them about every one or out of 10 or 15 people would take a Bible. I didn't even understand what was going on. And one of the Chinese church leaders who spoke a little bit of English said, Pastor Darren, here's what's happening. Here in China, in our Christian church, one Bible will serve 10 or 15 of us. And here's what we do. We will receive the Bible from you. One person will take it, and in 1 week's time, they will read it from cover to cover. And they will hand it to the next person. And they will read it in 1 week's time from cover to cover. And I was ruined. I was ruined by their hunger for God's word. I could have read about that, but it was way different experiencing it. And it just rocks your world. So let me ask you, at all of our campuses online in this service, when have you been ruined by God? When have you had God moments in your life where he came in and just kind of rocked your world in such a significant way or just touched you? And I know this is an experiential message, but if you know my heart, I got to give you a few practical takeaways. And then we'll share a few more things and wrap up the message this weekend. These takeaways will be up on the screen. And I love to give you things where I feel like they can make a difference in your life throughout the week. And you can apply them to your life as you go into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the rest of your week. So let me just share a few of these practical takeaways this weekend. The first one is this: being ruined by God is not a one-time event. It's not. I asked you the question earlier in the message this weekend. I said, hey, how many life-changing moments should a Christ follower experience? And all I can tell you is the answer is more than one. More than one. God's got so much more for us, doesn't he? So much more. And I just want you to know, being ruined by God is not just a one-time thing. It should happen occasionally. It should happen in incredible moments that we all need. And if you need verification, just look at Jesus and the disciples. I mean, just in those few years that Jesus had with him, those disciples had so many incredible God moments, didn't they? Feeding of the 5,000, calming of the storm, Lazarus being raised by dead, Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, they had all these incredible moments, incredible experiences. The next one is this. I need to place myself in situations where I may get ruined. It's kind of a practical, this is a real takeaway, church. I need to place myself in situations where I may get ruined by God, where God can rock my world. Remember where Samuel slept. He slept in the temple as close to the presence of God that he thought he could get to. God saw that hunger, honored that hunger, and he had an incredible God experience. So you need to place yourself in moments and situations. Maybe this is the year that you say, I'm going on a global trip. Maybe this is the year that you say, I'm stepping up to serve on a serving team, be a part of a local outreach. I'm going to be involved in ways I've never done it before. I'm going to do it. This is the year in January. I've never done it before, but I'm going to lead or facilitate or be a part of a perfect work-life group. I'm stepping in. I'm going to have an experience like that couple did on that video testimony we saw this weekend. And let me just pry and meddle a little bit on positioning ourselves. So I'm going to push you just a few, just challenge you a little bit here. At all of our campuses, Valencia, Swaziland, all the ones in Minnesota, we close almost every service of River Valley Church, and our prayer teams will come down to the front, and we invite you, if you have a need, if God needs to touch a need, our prayer teams are here to pray with you. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you responded and came and prayed with a prayer team member? When was the last time? I don't share that to give you guilt. I share that as a challenge. I wonder what Samuel would do. I think he'd come forward and say, you know what? I need God to intervene in my life in this way. And he would value that moment. So let's seize those moments where I place myself in situations where I may get ruined. A few more. The next one's real quick, but just watch out for hardness of heart. Watch out for hardness of heart, because any of us can happen to me, to you. Our hearts can get a little stale, a little calloused, a little bitter at times, or we get just a little cold towards things or resistant. Just watch out, because that's not a faithful, prepared heart that it's easy for God to intersect in it and be a part of. Just be careful. Just watch out for that. Guard your heart. Make sure it stays softened. And then a couple more I want to share with you. I call these bonus ones. The first one is just so true. And it's from my life, but I think it will apply to all of our lives this weekend. So I'm gonna share it with you. It's kind of vulnerable, but just hear me out. I realized something. I am a better husband, father, son, pastor, and friend when I've been ruined by God. I'm just better. I need it. God rubs off some of the rough edges. I care about those closest to me more. I may be more willing to say I'm sorry or please forgive me. And I'm just better. And you know what? We all need that, don't we? We all need those moments where God just kind of gets a hold of us. And that leads us to the last takeaway. That's just, again, a bonus one. When I have those moments, I realize I'm more prepared to be used by God in new ways. Because I've seen the goodness of God in my life, and I've been kind of rocked in my world, and now I'm ready for God to stretch my faith and use me in new ways, so I'm better prepared to be used by God in new ways. I'm going to share one more experience with you about when God ruined me, and it's the most significant one of my life. And some of you know my story, some of you don't, but I'll share it really quick. I was raised here in Minnesota. Grew up here and in a family, large Italian family, and we went to a religious traditional church most weekends because our parents made us go. I didn't go out of hunger or desire, and it was a good church, and I know there's probably was a lot of sincere people there seeking the Lord, but I was not sincere, and I didn't experience God in that experience, and it was in that setting. And our services were 45, 50 minutes long. They weren't very participatory. They were kind of reflective, and you watch what took place, and it just wasn't, there wasn't much coming alive in my life, and that's kind of was my story. Late in high school, my mom asked me and then signed me up for a retreat. Actually, she signed me up, then she asked me to go on this retreat. I'd never been on a retreat. I went by myself, didn't know anybody. And it was late in high school. And the first night of that retreat, share the story quick. Four individuals got up. They weren't pastors. They weren't preachers. They weren't ministers or missionaries. They were just regular Christian people that loved God. And they stood up and they shared their faith story. Church, I didn't even know what a faith story was. They started to use terms like how God had radically changed their life and they were passionate and excited to serve God and how the Bible was coming alive to them. And they used this phrase that they said, every day of our lives, every day, we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I had never heard that before. I had heard religious things, but I never heard that before. And I was spellbound. I was captured. I was listening. I was watching. I thought, I want that. I want that in my life. I remember that. And I was ruined in that moment. Like I've never been ruined before. And I thought, you know, never again is normal, traditional, religious thing going to work for me. I need that. I need that experience. And I love it that all of us need that. All of us, I believe, want that. So before we wrap up, I just need you to listen. Don't miss this. It's such a key part. Are you willing to position yourself in situations and in moments and in circumstances where God can get a hold of you and do special things? Are you willing to take the steps, to take the action steps, whatever it might be, whatever God's leading you to do, to say, I'm going to put myself in that situation? Because I know God wants to do something special in my life. Why? Because church, God loves you. God sees greatness in you. God has an incredible plan for your life. So let me read one closing verse and then we'll pray. It's in Matthew 13. It's an amazing setting. I wish we could talk more about it. But it's such a cool scripture about Jesus Christ. He was known and famous and doing incredible things. And then he returned to his hometown. And you get to see the perspective of the people that were closest to him. Matthew 13 says, he returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get this wisdom and this power to do miracles? Then, watch this, they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son. And we know Mary, his mother, and we know his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters, they live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And now we're going to read one of the saddest verses of the New Testament. And so he, Jesus, did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. Wow. See, it was outside their box of religion. They're like, who are you, the carpenter's son? You're not a seminary student. You're not a doctor. You're not this big bishop. Where do you get off teaching this? Or where do you get the power to do that? This doesn't make sense. And they're like, it's outside of our box of religion. And the scripture says, because of their unbelief, because they didn't want that experience, Jesus did very few miracles there. And I just read that and I thought, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the one that questions and doubts and thinks it's got to be, I got to figure it all out. I want God to do special things in my life. I want to have moments. In church, let me just say, you need moments, God moments. I need them, you need them. When God kind of rocks our world. And it just stirs us in such an incredible way. So as we wrap up 2013, as we look to 2014, are you willing to take the steps, the action steps, the obedient steps to say, God, I'm going to position myself in places and settings and circumstances where you can do incredible things in my life, and I'm going to say yes to what you're leading me to do. I hope that's true for each and every one of us. Let's bow our heads and pray together. God, we're going to take just 30 seconds, and we're just going to listen to you, to whatever you want to drop into our hearts, to whatever you want to impress upon our hearts, and we're just going to listen. God, thank you for believing in us. Jesus, thank you for giving your best for our lives. And we just want you to know, we want you in our lives. We want you as our Lord and Savior. We want you as our healer, as our baptizer in the Spirit. We want you as the God who walks with us every day of our lives. We don't want to get calloused. We don't want to get too professional. We don't want to just be where it's religion and information. God, if for those of us that need to break out of anything that's in our lives, we just want to do that by your grace and your love and your power this weekend. And we want to take the steps and make the decisions to say yes to that life group, yes to serving, yes to the devotion time, yes to a global trip, yes to tithing, yes to stewardship, yes to forgiveness, whatever that is that you want us to do. God, we want to be obedient to you. Thank you for seeing and believing in us. Thank you for wanting us to experience incredible things with you. And God, we love you so much, and we pray that you'd use us to make a difference in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.